to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we have James Fox, motion picture producer, director, specializing in documentaries, working on a project called 701 with Tracy Torme and others. And right now, we were focusing on Virginia, right?
Yes, yeah. I was just talking about little personal confirmations that I've had with certain things, you know. And it really kind of keeps me going. And some of the validations that I've had, I can't even, you know, use in any of my films. But I've had them in Russia, and I've had them in South America, and I've had them in, you know, America. I've had them in England. And it's just, you know, you're kind of off the record when you've got a high-ranking officer or a police officer or someone who worked at MOD or whoever it might be off the record telling you these things. It really kind of keeps you going.
Well, we've got a bunch of stuff to keep us going here in this week's episode of the Paracast. And I just, you know, I've been waiting here just biting my knuckle for the chance to ask you about the 8 days that you spent with Ray Stanford in Maryland, including several trips to the National Archives, some of which what you discovered I don't think we should talk about now, but it's just bombshell stuff. What did you think of Ray?
It's funny. Ray did not. He was not at all keen on going to the National Archives with me, and he kept saying, "It's been sanitized. We're not going to get anything new. If it was anything good that was there, we'd know about it. Some previous researcher would have found it." And I said, "Ray, if anyone could find what we're looking for, it's going to be you." And I just had this gut feeling.
And boy, were you really right.
I said, talk about a close attention to detail. That guy has a way of seeing things that are in plain sight, but overlooked by everybody else. And I know that Ray has gotten a lot of flack over the years for certain aspects of certain claims in his book. Well, I can tell you right now, I can't reveal exactly what, but I can tell you that there was a validation from a document in the National Archives, which we scanned and took with us, that brought a tear to Ray's eyes, that will settle something once and for all.
Oh, big time. Huge thing. But just in general, I mean, when I met up with you and, you know, for the you and Tracy are having all those folks out to interview in L.A. A month or so ago, you mentioned that you were going to cover the Socorro case, of course, the famous Lonnie Zamora case of 65, which Ray was on site within a couple of days and wrote a whole book about it. And you mentioned you wanted to cover that case, and I said, "Well, James, are you going to talk to Ray Stanford?" And you said, "Ray, who?" Basically, and I said, "You got to give this guy a call." And you really stuck with it. You gave him a call. You had to go out to the D.C. area anyway, so you were able to go out there. And it's like the guest that arrived and didn't want to leave for a week. I mean, you were there back and forth once or twice, but you spent 8 days.
I was there for, I think I was there the better part of 10 days.
Yeah, pretty much 8 to 10 days. Well, I mean, you got the full Ray Monty. Everybody on the Paracast kind of, you know, when they hear Ray Stanford, they roll their eyes and go, yeah. It's, you know, Chris has obviously drank the Ray Kool-Aid. He's genuflect at the, you know, the Ray Stanford fan club and blah, blah, blah. You know, I get a lot of disparaging remarks about my absolute conviction that this guy is the most important person in ufology. What did you think?
I have never met anyone with an attention to detail in my entire life like Ray Stanford. And just give one, I'll tell you one thing with the Socorro, New Mexico case. Any controversy that I've ever heard regarding any claims or any details in his book were quickly explained so thoroughly and so unequivocally with all the evidence and the letters and the photographs and the original. I mean, the guy has kept the most
physical
detailed
evidence.
Yeah, evidence that I've ever seen on any case, other than the only place you might find something better, or maybe you wouldn't, would be the archives in the Pentagon. I mean, he kept the rock where the landing gear hit. He kept the bits of paper from scorched paper from the landing site. He kept letters from, you know, what Lonnie Zamora was very kind of tight-lipped, I guess, you know, even with his own family. Well, Ray's got letters from Lonnie Zamora's daughter, which he kept from 1981 and even more recent stuff. He's got correspondence with Richard T. Holder's kids regarding the incident and regarding other aspects of the case that nobody else really knows about.
Right, the Army investigation. Everybody thinks the Air Force investigated the case, but the Army is holding on to most of the secrets.
Yeah, the Army is holding on to it, and there were a lot of other agencies that were there as well that were investigating the case.
What did you think of the photographs? The one of him taking a picture of J. Allen Hynek taking a photograph, and Hynek's picture, which Ray also has, that was taken within a second of Ray's picture, they both show what?
They both show these anomalous objects in the sky. And it was quite remarkable that not only did his photograph that he took of Hynek taking a photograph in the same direction from the backside of Hynek, but Hynek's photograph, which I believe is in the archives, is there as well. And there are photographs in the archives of Ray Stanford at the landing site within a couple of days of the incident. And I think Ray had kind of overlooked that until he got the higher resolution version of both photographs of these anomalous objects in the air right around the landing site within, I think, 3 days. But that's just the
right.
tip of the iceberg.
It was when they were both there, 3 days afterwards. And he didn't recognize that there were objects there, as you're saying, until a few years ago. I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago. When he finally was able to digitize the image and blow it up, and then he found the anomalous object, he got access, or I think he was sent Hynek's original stereo, one side of a stereo camera photograph, which you're referring to, and then he observed that, blew it up, and the same anomalous objects are in two separate photographs from two different analog cameras.
Absolutely remarkable. And then not only that, but, you know, there was I'm not a physicist or a scientist, but Ray had the most plausible explanation I've ever heard, along with evidence, photographic and film evidence, of the possible methods these objects use to zip around in the sky without creating a sonic boom, doing right-angle turns at high speed. Those explanations were validated with other things, I think, that NASA was discovering around the time that I don't even know how to describe it. Is it like a somehow electrifying the atmosphere around them that causes a little vacuum that opens up and allows these things?
It's the air spike that was patented by Leek Mirabeau from Rensselaer Tech. The story was written about in Chris Lambright's book, X Descending. But Leek Mirabeau found out the information by observing Ray's presentation, and he all of a sudden realized, hey, these objects are shooting a beam of plasma ahead of it, which is like the bow of a ship. It creates the atmosphere going around the object, negating the sonic boom, which he went on and patented.
I told Ray, I said, I'll never look at these things through the same filter after having, you know, and I just got the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I spent, you know, the better part of 8 or 10 days with Ray, and he just, you know, he has spent thousands of hours analyzing these things, and he's a scientist. You know, he's a very scientific, and it was incredible. It was an incredible experience. It was incredible to, with the level of scrutiny that Ray gives things, and I think that people that are easily can criticize need to sort of step back and put their judgment aside and review some of the evidence that he has, because I think it was quite phenomenal.
So much more to talk about. We have James Fox, and he's part of this new project called 701. The number of sightings listed is unidentified in Project Blue Book, but there are probably thousands that can't be explained.
So maybe he has to do a sequel movie called 7001 or 700,001.
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast with James Fox, who spent 8 very fascinating days with Ray Stanford, who wrote a book, of course, about the Sicaro, New Mexico case. And those of us who have heard and worked with Ray Stanford on the Paracast during his appearances here, James Fox, I have to ask you a question. Okay, during those 8 days, were you able to have a chance to utter even a sentence or two? Because he talks up a storm.
Well, he is a walking encyclopedia, no question about it. It's amazing how
with a photographic memory,
names, dates that he remembers. But I did. I have to take credit here. I did get a couple words in, enough to drag him to the National Archives, break him away from his home environment. And I'd say we spent several days at the National Archives uncovering some amazing aspects to the whole case. But he definitely can talk. He's got a lot to say.
Now, looking at Sicario, I gather from what you're saying, James, without going into every exquisite detail, that he has a lot more information than he published in that book.
Yes, absolutely. And there's things that keep coming, the more information that keeps coming. He had a video that he showed me, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not. Gosh, I don't know what I can say. But let's just say he had a video of a sit-down interview that he did with Dr. J. Allen Hynek in the 70s that I don't think has ever seen the light of day, that reveals aspects, that reinforces his book and reveals aspects of his book and the case that a lot of people don't know about, Hynek's endorsement of his work and what he accomplished that the Air Force did not. And Hynek even gives the impression that his hands were tied on a number of cases, on a number of incidences of that case, one of which I think involved the occupants that were seen. I tell you right now, anyone that has any doubt of any information presented in that book spends any time with Ray Stanford, that doubt will be quickly gone.
I was going to ask here, James, did you at all bring up with Ray Stanford that article from a fellow who says it was possibly a hoax by college students?
Oh yeah. He addressed that. I think that's one of the reasons why Ray came out from hiding it with the whole case. I think he literally said, I had to step in and squash that whole thing immediately. And that's, it's just a joke. I mean, that's just, it's not even worth even wasting any words on that whole theory, because it couldn't be further from the truth, and anyone who spends even 5 minutes with some of the evidence will quickly dismiss that. I mean, that's just absolute hogwash.
Now, I should mention, in all fairness, we've invited Tony Bergaglia, who wrote that article, to come on the Paracast, and he's given us many reasons why he can't, but the point being that he has not accepted that invitation, so there you go.
Well,
I wouldn't want to debate Ray.
I'd like to see him go up against Ray on that.
I wouldn't want to debate Ray on Sicario, no way.
Absolutely not. Ray's got every letter, every document, aspects of the case that haven't even seen the light of day, and he's kept everything. I've never seen anyone keep such meticulous records. He can back up everything.
And also, the vitrified rock where the quartz crystals have been melted into glass. I mean, from the actual ground where the engine fired up and the flame, instead of bouncing off the ground, sliced directly into the earth. When it took off, and when it went to hover and then took off, Ray collected samples of the rock, and the quartz crystals within those, in situ in the matrix, are vitrified and melted.
Yeah, I looked at all the paper and the rock and then the diagrams. I mean, I've got, from the National Archives, this is just amazing, you guys, because I'm looking at documents from Richard T. Holder's investigation. He was on the site within an hour and a half. And it's got diagrams written on the landing gear, footprints in the soft sand from the alleged occupants, letters from mentioning the top secret nature of this case, references from Wright-Patterson Air Force, Foreign Technology Division, making inquiries with every known agency that could have been remotely responsible for that craft, all of which responding, that's definitely not ours. Clearly in the National Archives, clearly the Air Force was scrambling to come up with a prosaic explanation of this case and couldn't, and never could. So anyone who says, anything, I mean, obviously we can't definitively say what it was, but you can damn well say what it wasn't. And all the evidence points to the fact that it was not of Earth origin.
Well, okay, so let's go into that one thing, and we can always argue the point of origin. But what makes you think, based on what you saw all the time you spent with Ray Stanford, that it was not of Earth origin?
Well, I mean, you've got the Dr. J. Allen Hynek's comments. You've got Richard T. Holder's comments. You've got all the letter of correspondence between Foreign Technology Desk. You've got clearly there were inquiries being made from the Office of the President, members of Congress, the media. You've got the Air Force scrambling to come up with an explanation, a prosaic earthly explanation. They clearly couldn't. You've got the whole paper trail documenting that. You've got the footprints in the ground. You've got the vitrified rock from the takeoff. You've got the metal
samples that were stolen at Goddard Space Flight Center.
The metal samples stolen from the Space Flight Center. You've got that whole paper trail. It's just the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, it's and then you've got all the other witnesses in town. I think there's I want to take a guess. I think it's 6 or 12 other witnesses, some of whom went on the record that saw this egg-shaped craft.
Filed statements with investigators.
Yeah, and there are articles that I have references to that we found in the National Archives talking about the other witnesses that, of course, the Air Force neglected to mention.
Okay, well James, Socorro is one of a number of cases that you're going to highlight in your new film that you're partnered up with Tracy Torme in producing. The working title is 701, those cases that Project Blue Book didn't want to tell you about. Why don't you give us a quick thumbnail sketch, sort of where, you know, what the project is, the film, and also where you're at in the process.
And before he does that, let's just point out that we're going to have to break in a couple of moments. So I do want to just tell our listeners that when we have a guest scheduled, and we try to do it before it's too late, and that is we put up a topic or thread in our forums at forum.theparacast.com, under a place called The Question Bank. And that way you can ask questions of our guests. And unlike the shows that take phone calls, this way you could sit there, phrase it the way you want. You don't have to worry about how you sound on the air, and you can ask your question. And we try to get most of them in during the show. James Fox joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Justin Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633. 609-5633, on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have James Fox joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Before we broke, Chris asked a question of James Fox. Would you like to follow up?
Yeah, 701. Tell us about the movie project.
Well, you know, when I finished Out of the Blue, I did a revised version of Out of the Blue. It's kind of a long story. I don't want to bore you with all the details.
I'll tell our listeners, by the way, go back through the Paracast archives, check the various appearances from James Fox, and you'll understand Out of the Blue and all the background, so you don't have to have them repeated here.
You can watch Out of the Blue on Netflix, too. You know, we finished Out of the Blue in 2003, and we sold it to NBC Universal and Sci-Fi Channel broadcasted, but we were kind of out of steam, and we'd lost, you know, we were out of financing, and all of my co-producers, we'd all kind of had enough, and we were working on it pretty aggressively for 5 years. But there were aspects of the film that I really felt like I didn't button up, I didn't accomplish. And so when I got a letter from NBC Universal a couple of years after, I think in 2006, saying that they were not going to renew the broadcast option, I didn't think they would anyway, I decided to kind of revisit the film and kind of revamp it because I had bigger aspirations for that movie in terms of distribution. So I picked the film back up and kind of against, it was very difficult to persuade my co-producers to do it, but long story short, we did. And it kept expanding. We did, I think, 35-40% new material, I broke that story with the governor of Arizona and kind of catapulted us into the limelight for a little bit back in 2006, 2007. And the film kept progressing. And there were some agents that I brought on board that felt that, you know, it was possible to put a film like that in theaters if I kept kind of, you know, modifying the film. And so I kept massaging it for a couple of years. And then eventually it morphed into I Know What I Saw. And my goal with I Know What I Saw was to create a film on the subject of UFOs with some of the most solid evidence, the cases of which a lot of, you know, ufologists are very familiar with. But I wanted to pick good, solid, vetted cases. And I wanted to create something that could be, you know, potentially be released in theaters. Well, I fell short of that goal, and that's a long story, but I certainly tried for many, many years. And once again, I ran out in 2009 of funding. I'd gone through three or four separate funders. I had to buy out my previous partners. I kept pushing and pushing and pushing until I was, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And a deal came on the table from A&E on the History Channel, and my investors wouldn't let me pass it up. And, you know, and everyone says, well, you know, you did really well, and you got the History Channel, and you made your money back, and blah, blah, blah. But that wasn't my goal. I mean, I didn't spend years and years and years of my life to create another television documentary. I was really had bigger dreams for it. But, you know, like I said, there was a large enough money that I was in debt over that I, you know, in fairness to my investors, it put hundreds of thousands of dollars in it. We couldn't pass it up. So we did the deal. And it went out, and I remember being kind of disappointed with the whole thing. And my dad pulled me aside, and he's like, oh, son, you know, don't get so hard on yourself. Look at what you did accomplish. You know, you should really pat yourself on the back, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so I kind of brushed that off, and I started getting involved with other projects. And I really wasn't sure where I could go after that. And I'm working on a film that I've just entered into Sundance Film Festival, cross your fingers, pretty slick on the BP oil spill. I get a call from Tracy Torme, and he's like, hey, he just happened to see one of the rerun shows on History Channel of I Know What I Saw, and he really wanted to talk to me. So long story short, he says, you know, I've had this dream, and I wasn't going to revisit UFOs. I've got so many other interests, but I decided after seeing your film and a couple of other things, Leslie Kane's book, I guess, to, you know, to give it one more shot in this field. And his dream was, you know, a UFO documentary feature that could be, you know, be released in films, festivals, theaters. I said, Tracy, that was my dream as well, and that's one of the hopes I had with the newer version of Out of the Blue, and once again, with I Know What I Saw, and I failed. And so having an A-list scriptwriter on board, we decided to kind of team up. And, you know, everyone's saying, well, how are you guys going to make this thing different? What hasn't been done? How are you going to put it in theaters? And Tracy said, well, you know, I think our approach should be, and I've started believing this more and more, and the more I learned about the whole field, the more I realize how much I don't know. And, you know, Tracy said, you know, I'm starting to think after 25, 30 years of research that, you know, everyone thinks it's this huge, big cover-up, and in some respects there is a cover-up, but in other respects the very reasons for that cover-up might be entirely different. And maybe we should consider this approach, and that is, yes, they're clearly real, but maybe the reason for this big cover-up is the fact that the government just doesn't know.
They don't have a clue. They're more confused than we could ever be.
Exactly. So, yeah, there is tangible evidence being withheld from the general public of their existence, but that doesn't mean that they know anything more than, you know, than anybody else. Yeah, they know they're real. Maybe they don't know where they're coming from. Maybe they don't know what they're doing here. Maybe we have no idea. I mean, we're like in kindergarten, you know. So I really like this approach. And so 701, we're going to be dealing with other cases, not just cases from Project Blue Book, but we kind of like the idea of 701, the ambiguity of it. Like, first of all, from a marketing standpoint, it could get people talking and nice, create a little buzz. But what the number actually represents is what the government didn't know, and that is the 701 cases out of 12,618 from Project Blue Book and Sign and Grudge that they couldn't explain and that they were labeled unidentified. And so it's more symbolic, the number. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be dealing just with those cases. We're looking for more recent cases as well. But that's in a nutshell what we want to do and what we want to accomplish with 701. It's to create a documentary feature film for a worldwide theatrical release.
Okay. In addition to Sicario, were there any other important cases that Ray Stanford presented that you're going to talk about in the film?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Ray's sitting on some filmed footage of some stuff, and there are one of the things that was brought up early on before we even met with Ray was, why don't we talk about the possible physics behind these things? What do we know? And I think it's a great idea. Obviously, we're going to have to speculate to a certain extent, but speculate on informed speculation, I would say.
Yeah, but Ray is sitting on the only information that really even addresses that subject, really.
And Ray, you know, kind of solidified that for me, that whole visit, was that these are aspects, I think, that clearly need to be addressed and mentioned in the film. By doing so, you know, bringing in some people, Ray and people like Ray, to talk about the possible physics behind these objects, which I think is a fascinating angle of it. But that's not going to be the only thing we want to do. We want to talk about, review different hypotheses possibly, and people that could, I know it's going to be once again kind of speculation, but that's something that I never really explored with. I know what I saw. We talked more about, you know, cases, and you saw the evidence and you heard from the witnesses, but then we didn't really go any further on it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the big thing here, James, is that there are theories other than ET, but that doesn't mean necessarily conventional explanations. There are other things that might be going on that need to be explored. Now, let me ask you, too, which will be the obvious question. It's going to be strictly about UFOs. You won't go into possible relationships with other stuff.
What do you mean by that? Sorry, I'm not quite clear on that question.
Okay, well, the fact that UFO sightings are sometimes seen in connection with sightings of strange creatures and other stuff like that. The high strange stuff.
We've talked internally about this because it's a very slippery slope, and we want to reach a very broad audience. And in doing so, we clearly need to take note that, you know, once you delve into some of the more bizarre, not that UFOs in general are bizarre, but when you start to really delve into some of the more truly bizarre aspects of the phenomenon, you know, one risks losing the interest of mainstream because we're not here to, you know, preach to the choir. We want to appeal to a much broader audience because we feel that at least addressing some of these, presenting the evidence in a digestible fashion for mainstream. So, yes, we want to address, and we don't know right now. I mean, we're kind of exploring how far out we're going to go, and it really depends on what we come up with and review and consider. You know what I mean? Yes, I mean, for instance, we're opening the whole movie right now with A Close Encounter of the Third Kind. I mean, that's
great place to start. Good. That and the X-Files in 92. Well, what are your main keystone cases besides Socorro and Roswell that you're going to be focusing on? I'm assuming you're going to touch on Roswell.
We'll have the answer to that question coming up in a moment. James Fox joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Can you pluck a chicken in about 90 seconds? You can with Power Plucker. Plucking by hand is a chore, but the Power Plucker makes it fast and easy. Simply chuck Power Plucker into your power drill and watch those feathers fly off. Save time and money with our complete home processing kits, too. For free USA shipping and 10% discount, go to PowerPlucker.com and enter promo code RADIO. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
The Obama administration is targeting people just like you. The IRS, FBI, and NSA are scrambling to collect every bit of information about you. Find out how to protect yourself from government spies at privacyradio.com. But hurry, they do not want you to know about this. It's the story of an American patriot and his struggle against big government. Don't wait. This video could mysteriously go down at any time. Go to privacyradio.com before it's too late. That's privacyradio.com.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate to make more glutathione is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris, as you know, will always ask a question, almost always, at the end of the segment, giving you a couple of minutes to digest the question and giving our guests a chance to come up with an answer. James Fox, you're joining us today. The film is 701, the working title. Chris asked you a question just ahead of the break. What's your response?
Yeah, what are the key cases that you're going to be kind of adorning the rest of the piece on? Socorro is one. Are you going to be mentioning Roswell, for instance? What other cases are you going to look at?
We've been talking with Don Schmidt about some possible new angles on Roswell. We're on the fence with it right now. I mean, there's a possibility if we come up with some really new, compelling evidence that we would consider touching on Roswell, because it's a part of the whole history, you know. We want to obviously give a broad stroke sort of snapshot, I guess, history of, you know, ufology. I mean, we can go way back, but in terms of the modern day, the wave of 47, you know, the issue, the Capitol building being buzzed in 52, we've been talking a lot about that. Don Schmidt's been pointing us at some possible new evidence with the whole Roswell case, because if we have some new, interesting, compelling stuff, then we would. Well, we're exploring all of this stuff. There's some cases like the Rulo Zimbabwe case in Africa that I've been pushing hard for, and I think it's really compelling with all the school children.
Right, I know that John Mack went fairly early on and investigated.
I've been kind of pushing hard for that one just because, I don't know, it's something very compelling about all the testimony of those articulate 8 to 12-year-old school children and, you know, Close Encounter of the Third Kind once again. And that's dealing with some pretty radical stuff like telepathy and things like that.
Right.
But I find that case very compelling. I don't think there's hardly anything ever done on that case.
Not really well done. I mean, there have been some segments. I think Sightings covered it, UFO Files. There have been a few. But how about Virginia?
Yeah, the Virginia case, you know, I initially, a couple years ago, I was very skeptical of that case, because I remember thinking, come on, man, little creatures in the town, a UFO crack. I mean, really, 1996, I mean, this is not that long ago. It's like the Roswell of Brazil. And I was extremely skeptical, and I got invited to give a little presentation completely unrelated to Virginia in Brazil. And a friend of mine was like, oh, you're going to go to Brazil. You've got to look into the Virginia case. And I kind of looked. I'd heard about it, but I just thought, oh, come on, man. You know, aliens walking through the town. I mean, please. And I went there twice. And after the second time I went, I am pretty well convinced that that happened. I met with some of the primary witnesses, the firsthand eyewitnesses that saw the creatures. They never said, you know, E.T. They thought it was more a manifestation of the devil. Right. These women were absolutely terrified. Yeah. It has plagued them to death. They were offered money by the Air Force to recant their statements and say that they lied. They didn't do that. It's ruined their lives, basically. They can't get jobs locally because, you know, I met with these people. I met with members of
are you going to cover that in 701?
I'm so sorry?
You going to cover that in 701?
Well, I'm, I'm pushing for it. I'm pushing for it.
How about Polaris? Have you done anything about the 79 through 81 cases at the mouth of the Amazon?
I looked into that where the people got zapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely looked into that while I was there. That's a very interesting case as well, and it's, you know, recent enough. I think it was at 79 or something?
Yeah, 79-80. Bob Pratt, of course, the longtime investigator for, of all people, the National Enquirer, he wrote a book about it. Of course, Jacques Vallée covered it in his book Confrontations. There's a lot of very compelling evidence, including autopsy reports on people that were killed by UFOs.
Yeah, it's a crazy story, and I haven't looked in. I remember reading all about it when I was there and actually talking, because I was investigating Virginia, and then some researchers there were like, well, you got to know about it. I think Operation Plateau or something like that, I think they called it.
Yeah, I forget the actual Brazilian Air Force designation, but the films that they, the Air Force, by the way, took have yet to be declassified, although they claim they've declassified all the evidence that they have in their files. They've given over to civilian investigators, but the film footage that we know was taken of some huge mothership craft that are discharging the chupas, the small refrigerator-sized craft that went through the jungle and zapped people at night, I think 14, if I remember correctly, that footage has never been revealed to the public, and the full story of the Brazilian Air Force investigation has never been revealed.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me. I mean, but, I talked to a guy who was my translator, actually, at my presentation, whose father was a general in the Brazilian Air Force, and his father was got cancer. And I guess the son had constantly been asking his father about, you know, the reality of UFOs. And then when his father realized he had cancer, he brought his son in, and I met his son and spent time with his son a number of days. And he was shown photographic evidence, conclusive photographic evidence of cases throughout Brazil for decades that, I think he was given 5 minutes with the folder, and he talked a little bit about that, and that wouldn't surprise me if some of that evidence was that case in 79. But the kid said it was irrefutable photographic evidence.
Wow, that'd be great stuff to see on the big screen, bro.
You hear these stories. I mean, I could give you, people have been criticizing me for putting out a $100,000 reward for evidence. I mean, to be honest with you, if I had $1 million, I would put it in the, I would somehow create a prize in the most transparent way possible where any of this evidence would see the light of day. I mean, granted, I know over all the interviews I've been, I know there's a lot of hokey stuff out there. Believe me, I'm very aware of that. But
hey, Ray Stanford should win that prize.
Well, you know, going back to some of the people like Gordon Cooper that I interviewed, in the 90s, talking about the filmed footage of a landed saucer at Edwards Air Force Base. I mean, it sounds kind of really out there, but, you know, there are cases at Holloman Air Force Base and Edwards Air Force Base, Vandenberg Air Force Base, where I've met with military officers that told us about filmed evidence of a landed UFO. I mean, that would be pretty damn remarkable, obviously, and I'm quite convinced that stuff exists. Ray's got some amazing film footage. I didn't get it. Unfortunately, I saw each scanned frame, but I didn't get to see the film play. I'm really trying to encourage Ray to have that stuff transferred, because I think that it's time.
Yeah, you and me both.
But in terms of the awe factor of a landed craft at Holloman filmed officially or Edwards, you know, I'm quite convinced that stuff does exist. Maybe with the right dollar amount, it would resurface. I don't know. I mean, there's other countries, for instance, I know in Brazil, you were just talking about stuff. You know, maybe one of these retired officers could sneak some of this stuff out for the right price. I don't know.
I have a question to ask you, James, before we go on. And that is, should we think that all this supposedly secret information is being held by the government, or are they possibly funneling it off to private industry because that gives them plausible deniability? Well, we don't know anything about it. We're telling you the truth because some private company out there, not accountable to anyone, has it.
Well, you know, I did a video a couple of years ago in San Diego for a woman named Jan Seacrest. It was just a video. It was a little, I do editing and film stuff on the side, and I was doing the lifespan of her husband, who was in his 80s. Really fun stuff. And very well-to-do couple lived in the hills in San Diego. And she said, oh, James, what else, you know, what are your other interests? And I, of course, reluctantly brought up UFOs and expecting her to kind of laugh. And she said, well, gosh, you know, there's something I'd like to tell you. When I was in college, the guy who was across from our dorm was General Nathan Twining's son. And back in, I think it was either the 50s, late 50s, he one night was having drinks with her and her girlfriend in their dorm room. And he told her, and this is, she, you know, her mouth to my ears, she said he had a couple drinks in him one night, and he told us that his father had shown him in an underground room in the Pentagon all this incredible UFO evidence and photographic evidence and filmed evidence. And there was a whole vault underneath the Pentagon. She's like, I've been sitting on that story since he told me that back in the late 50s, I think it was. The late 50s or early 60s. And I'm in touch with her to this day. Of course, I'm trying to track down Nathan Twining's son. I've been trying. She's been actually trying to help me do that as well. But, you know, you hear these little tidbits and you think, boy, it makes sense. And then you hear, you know, Gordon Cooper, Mercury astronaut Gordon Cooper, tell me both on and off camera that he personally held some of this evidence in his hands of a landed saucer, filmed evidence, and it was, you know, couriered off to Washington never to see the light of day. They've got to be keeping this stuff somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
A nickel for all the gun camera footage that they must have, just that alone.
I know. Believe me, I know. And I know that stuff exists. I'm absolutely convinced. But what is it going to take to get it out? I don't know, you know. We currently have a couple of leads on a few things that I'm following. You know, you have to follow up every possible lead on this stuff. And
well, let me know.
Majority of them, I'm sure, is going to lead to nowhere. But we, you know, I continue to try because I know it's out there.
Here's some of what's out there. What's out there is doing this break very briefly with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention citizens of Northern Arizona, are you prepared? If not, now's your chance to get prepared at the Arizona Survivalist Prepper Expo, August 24th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Tim's Toyota Center in Prescott Valley. Visit with Arizona-based and national suppliers of such items as freeze-dried foods, solar ovens, solar equipment, tactical gear, camping gear, water filtration supplies, and much more. Do you need a bug-out bag? Do you need to stock up on freeze-dried food? Are you curious what a solar oven is? Take a tour of the ultimate bunker, a portable above or below ground survival shelter. Visit with doomsday prepper stars from around Arizona, such as Tim Ralston of Gear Up and Brian Moffat of Extreme Defense USA. Informative speakers will be providing valuable insight every hour on such topics as long-term food storage and emergency first aid skills. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. We won't rest until every citizen in Arizona is prepared. Visit our website, ArizonaSurvivalistShows.com.